I know that we have been talking lately about the issue of country of origin labelling. That's ahead of the July 1 deadline for food manufacturers to comply with new statutory requirements. And from that date, you'll be able to look at the label on a can or a product on the supermarket shelf and know that if it says Australian, at least 70% of it is in fact produced right here in Australia. But recently we've been hearing concerns from the seafood industry about a decision by IP Australia to allow an imported fish, tilapia, to be trademarked as Kariba Brim. Now, what is Kariba Brim, I hear you ask? Well, as of this decision, it's tilapia. You know, the pest fish that is loathed by recreational fishers everywhere because it's taking over our rivers and streams and wiping out native fish species along the way. Well, apparently tilapia is actually quite a good eating fish. I've never tried one, but it's not a brim, or is it? Well, the Seafood Industry Australia group is certainly hopping mad about a decision to allow the word brim to be trademarked as part of this particular company's marketing plans. And we thought we'd talk to the General Manager of Trademarks and Designs for IP Australia, Paula Adamson. I asked her why this decision was made when, in the eyes of many, it muddies the water about what a consumer is actually buying.
We look at if the company actually has an ABN and that they exist and that the trademark is unique, so nobody else has that trademark. And then we look at the services that they supply. In this case, they were supplying fish and didn't necessarily specify what type of fish. And the thing that we don't do is we don't look at business plans and we don't look at marketing strategies.
So why Kariba Brim, though? Why not Tropical Tilapia or something that reflects the product that they're importing?
Well, they could have done that. So from our point of view, the trademark met the requirements at that particular time. I guess if I can use a bit of an analogy, it's like going and getting a license. So when you go and get a driver's license, the person at the counter gives you that license based on the fact that you've got a birth certificate and you've passed the test and that you've had an eye test. When you actually leave that building, how you drive that car is then monitored. You know, if you don't drive, use that license appropriately, then that's a matter for the police. And in this case, if people are misusing a trademark that's been issued in good faith based on what the business has told us, then that's actually an issue for the ACCC. And had they put in their application that tilapia was a fish they were going to sell, then definitely we would have absolutely gone back and looked at that further, but that wasn't what was in that application.
Okay, I take your analogy. The peak seafood body, Seafood Industry Australia, has offered one of its own. It says it's a bit like calling a Holden a Ford. You just can't do it. And it's concerned that it sets a dangerous precedent. And who's to say that the next application that IP Australia receives won't be to use Snapper or Barramundi or some other iconic Australian fish brand?
Holden and Ford are trademarked actually in their own right, and they've built their brands using those trademarks. Brim and tilapia are actually fish species and aren't trademarked. So you can't trademark car, but you can trademark, you know, your brand as in Holden and Ford. So what we do is we take the trademark application based on the evidence that's presented in front of us at that particular time, and we do our research to see if that's a unique branding for that particular trademark. We process more than 70,000 applications per year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite significant. And there's 1.59 million trademarks on the register at the moment. So it's a significant amount of trademarks.
You're hearing right now from Paula Adamson on the Country Hour. She is the Trademarks Manager for IP Australia. Who did you consult before making the decision about Kariba Brim?
So we consult extensively with the business when they put in their application, and where there are oppositions, and in this case there were no oppositions, we would work closely with all the parties involved in the opposition.
Well, there's been plenty of opposition since the decision was made, and I guess it begs the question that the industry's asked is why wasn't the well-established fish naming committee part of those discussions, because they would have let you know quick smart that they didn't think it was a good idea to allow imported tilapia to be called something that many associate as an iconic Australian species, brim.
Processing 70,000 applications per year is quite significant time and cost for both applicants and for government. So had the company actually stated they were selling tilapia, we certainly would have gone and consulted further on that. But they were establishing a business, and in all good faith, we take the business information and we establish the trademark based on the information that's provided at the time. And at that point in time, there was nothing to suggest that tilapia was a product they were going to sell.
So just on that point then, the onus is on either the company to let you know what they're up to, or a fisherman, a brim fisherman or a seafood industry, to know that there has been an application lodged.
Yeah, so a trademark search is a new a tool that we have available where it is open to the public and anyone can go on at any time and do a search on any pending existing trademarks that are out there. So there is a trademark search facility that's available, and certainly the onus is on business and industry to identify if there are any issues with a trademark.
But Paula Adamson, you've just pointed out how onerous it would be for you to consult more extensively when you're giving such a high volume of applications, 70,000 applications for trademarks. Doesn't the same situation apply in reverse? How would a fisherman or an industry, a peak industry body, know to go looking in the first place for such an application?
Yeah, we have a lot of associations that actually monitor the trademark search function. For example, the whiskey industry monitor consistently that trademark search function. And when there is something of interest that comes up, they certainly do get in contact with us and talk to us about it. So it's not that they go specifically looking, but they can certainly run searches on a regular basis. And there is a two-month opposition period, so it doesn't mean they have to go in and search it every day, but you know, it's something that associations do, is regularly search that trademark search and put in keywords and actually have the ability to pull up anything of interest out of that.
So Paula Adamson, if there are lessons to be learned out of this particular application for Kariba Brim, you say that perhaps associations like Seafood Industries Australia could be more proactive in their searches. Could you, as IP Australia, also be more proactive in setting up some form of consultation in cases involving the name of fish species, for example, that enables you to seek comment from the fish naming committee that's been set up specifically to provide some consistency and clarity in this area around fish naming conventions?
We're always looking for ways to improve our services to customers. And certainly what we're doing over the next 6 months is enhancing that tool search system and looking at how we can set up a way to push messages out to people who subscribe to the search function. So that would be one way for us to engage better with the seafood industry and the fish naming committee. The other way is we'd also invite people to come in and talk to us. We would be happy to come out and have conversations with those associations.
Okay, but from what you're telling me, if I, Charlie McKillop, lodge an application with you tomorrow for, I don't know, backyard barra, and I don't tell you that I actually intend to sell tilapia, you'd probably give me the tick of approval.
If you have an ABN and a business name registered, then if there is no one else that has that unique trademark, then there is a possibility that that would happen.
Look, thanks very much for helping us understand the process behind this. I guess it is a case of wait and see, and to see how this trademark is used in the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, if there are any concerns about how that trademark is used, then certainly the ACCC is the place to go to. And, you know, we understand sometimes things don't always work out the way they should, and that's why there's so many different agencies involved in this to make sure that we protect business and industries together.
General Manager of Trademarks and Designs for IP Australia, Paula Adamson, thanks very much for spending some time with us on the Country Hour.
Thanks, Charlie.